opportunity and good morning, honorable members. Morning, the team, CETA. I'm advised that we have the chairperson of the board of CETA, Mr. Tseka, and the DTG of communication, Chilembe. Good morning, and your team will give time for introduction on your delegation to this meeting. The Deputy Minister of Home Affairs and the DG and your entire team of Home Affairs staff and officials, we want to start to extend a word of comfort and speedy recovery to Minister of Home Affairs, as we've been informed that he has tested positive. We hope he is recovering well. This meeting, Mr. Matonsi, you will highlight the agenda so that we get to the items that this meeting is going to interact with. Can you highlight the agenda, Mr. Matonsi? Yes, our agenda is going to be as stated, honorable members. Is there any other item that we members think it must come, or can I establish that? Are we approving the agenda?
Yes, Chair.
Seconder? Honorable Luzel? Okay. The agenda is approved as that we highlighted, members. This is a progress report. You know that we had the briefing by the Minister of Minister Ntshavheni and Minister Aaron Motsoaledi. They were leading the delegation in the previous portfolio committee, and there were recommendations from that committee that some of the areas that you will have to come back to the portfolio committee and report on the progress that you have made, given the concerns and the issues that members of the committee have raised with both the department and also with CETA. I must indicate from the onset that I've gone through the report, and there's a sense of cohesion on some of the issues that were raised by the committee. And I think when the report is going to be presented, members will interact with the report, including the team that is representing CETA and the Department of Communication and Home Affairs. We're not going to take time, Mr. Matonsi. I'm going to request that in our item apologies, you will come and give us apologies. We'll then request the minister, sorry, the deputy minister, Njabulo Nzunza, as the political head leading this, both the department, I'm advised, to introduce the team of Home Affairs or delegate for introduction, and we'll then go to the DTG Chilembe to introduce the team, and we'll then go to the chairperson of the board to introduce his team. If Mr. Matonsi will be joined by the Minister Ntshavheni or DM Mapulana, I would request that you advise the table so that we were accordingly able to interact with their protocols. Can I invite you, Mr. Matonsi, to deal with the apologies? And then in that sequence I've outlined, and then we'll go to the item of presentation. Mr. Matonsi?
Oh, okay, Chairperson, from the committee side, we don't have any apologies. I've got one apology from the Minister of Communication, and also an apology from Ms. Nkidi Mwaboko from the department. She's a DDG for HR. That's all, Chair.
Okay. Members, any apology that you might have not rendered to Mr. Matonsi? Okay, noted. Deputy Minister, I'm inviting you to introduce your team, and you will then work on the delegation of introducing other stakeholders. Deputy Minister Njabulo Nzunza.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Today from Department of Home Affairs, we are with the DG, Tommy Makote, and DG Institutional Support, Thulani Mavuso, DG Civic Services, Thomas Sigama, CFO, Gordon Hollenbay, and DDG Counter Corruption, Ms. Moite, as well as the BMA Commissioner, Dr. Mike Masiapato. I will then request that we hand over to CETA for them to make the introduction of the team that they are bringing with them today. I did also notice that we have the acting CEO for CETA, Luvuyo Keise, as well, but I will give that space for them to introduce the whole team that they are coming with from the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Mkoli Sitsika, the Chairperson of CETA. With me is the team from CETA, led by the Interim Managing Director, who I will hand over to him to introduce the other team members. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, in that order.
All right, thank you very much. Morning, Honorable Chair and members. I guess protocol, I should also confirm that our DG is here. Mrs. Nonkubela is already here. Jordan Gyani is with us, and also within the CETA team, I do have Kadi Kadi, who is on the team, our stakeholder management executive. I do have Tanya, our parliamentary liaison officer, as well as our acting company secretary. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the introduction. Mr. Keise, also for noting that the DG is also in attendance. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister Njabulo, for leading this delegation on behalf of the both the ministers. We hope that the interaction with the members of parliament, you will be able to lead the process for the engagement. At this time, I'm going to invite again the Deputy Minister to introduce the presentation, and then you will therefore delegate in terms of how we're going to interface with the delegation. Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much again, Chair. I think that as a department, we have always indicated our commitment to improved services within our service points in various branches of Home Affairs. We do realize that information technology and systems availability play a very important role in improving the kind of services that we offer. There might be a variety of issues that are affecting operations at our offices, but the issue of information technology, system stability and systems availability, and the issue of downtime has always been a sore point for us. And even in the last budget vote speech, we did indicate that we are putting in systems to try and deal with this issue and resolve them. We are therefore here today, Chair, to present on the progress that we have made and the targets that we have set, as well as the milestones that we have achieved in making sure that we deal with a variety of information technology related areas that are meant to improve service delivery in our service points, which is our branches. And that is why today we are going to be presenting on the implementation of the branch appointment system, which is very important towards dealing with the congestion in our offices and making sure that people that we have committed that they will be helped on a specific day, they are helped, as a result reducing lost time from our citizens when they come to our offices, by making sure that those who come have an appointment and will be able to be assisted. We are also going to present on the progress and how we are going forward in the implementation or resolution of the system downtime issues. Quite a number of times we have came to this committee and members have raised their concerns around people who go to Home Affairs offices only to find that there is system downtimes for a number of reasons. Sometimes there is power shortages and so on and so on. So we'll be taking the committee through those interventions that we are making. Part of the contributors to system downtimes is the issue of network availability and the issue of switches that are there that sometimes they end up not transmitting information, resulting to system downtime. So we'll be presenting on the maintenance plan for routers and switches as well. And lastly, we'll then brief the committee briefly on the progress that we have made in the implementation of the APIS project. This has been one of the thorny issues within the department where we had to take a decision that our focus is on saving the project. We are continuing with other issues related to this project, part of them around cost recovery, part of them around taking action on those who will have been found to have done wrong things, particularly on the basis of the forensic report that we once came here to present. But today our focus is to brief the committee on what progress we have made. I will plead with you, Chair, that in future, we probably get a chance to come and present holistically and in thorough detail both the benefits of the APIS project as well as the milestones that we will touch on today, but also around the recommendations that we have implemented coming from both the AG as well as the forensic reports that we have received on how far we have gone. But this for us is a very important project because it is also linked to other important targets within the department. Some of them could not be achieved on the basis of our inability to complete this particular project. We are happy with the progress that we are making, and I'm sure when the DG presents, he will be able to take you through. One of the things I must say lastly, Chair, is that we are very happy that we are now maintaining a very good working relationship with CETA. We have ensured that the presentation that we present today is a joint effort from both organizations, because we realize that working together is the only way that we are going to be able to move forward in order to deal with our issues. I will request that we give space to the DG to make the presentation. As I've indicated, one of the persons we have with us today is Nhlanhla Mabaso, who is the CIO. They will then add in terms of technical issues that they will feel are lacking, as well as CETA in broadly, they will then also add. I will request that we give space to the DG to then make that presentation, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. DG? DG Makode?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to the Deputy Minister. Good morning to the Chairperson of the CETA Board, my colleague, DG Nongubela Jordan Djani, and the colleagues from the Department of Communication and Digital Technologies, including the colleagues from Home Affairs. Thank you so much. I think the Deputy Minister has already outlined the purpose of the presentation. I'll just reiterate some of the activities that will find emphasis in the presentation. In the main, Chair, we are here to present to the Portfolio Committee the progress that we've made with regards to the four key areas that we made a commitment to the Portfolio Committee on. The first one is really the network-related interventions, both by the Department of Home Affairs and also by the State Information Technology Agency, which includes what the Deputy Minister referred to as the maintenance of routers and switches, and then we'll provide an update. You'll recall that at the last meeting where we appeared before this committee 3 months ago, we made a commitment around the implementation of a branch appointment system. So we'll provide an update as to where we are with regards to that. And then we'll also deal into the implementation plan for health facilities, which seeks to reduce queues at our offices. And of course, the Deputy Minister has spoken about the automated biometric identification system, where we'll provide an update with regards to that. If we can move to slide, the next slide, or slide five, basically provides a background on this presentation. You'll recall, Chair, that on the 31st of August, both ourselves and CETA, at that point, we made two different presentations. I'm happy that today we're making one single presentation on the plans that we're going to implement to resolve network downtimes. And post that meeting, there were a number of actions that were identified that were going to be implemented with various timelines, and of course, some are beyond the current financial year. So the presentation today will deal with how we are dealing with the immediate challenges in the short term, and then there's medium to long-term challenges, with a focus on how we're going to increase usage of mobile connectivity supported by suitable connectivity media. Of course, we'll also table before this committee how we're working around the clock to ensure the revision of the architecture to deal with what we refer to as the bloatware, in particular to ensure that the functionality of the software is not drowned through the excessive use of infrastructure and facilities. And then we'll then share with the committee how we are working with other state and private entities on improving access to the network and then the queue management system. And of course, the work that we're doing around maintaining these generators in the offices that have already been equipped to handle power outages. Linked to that, Chair, you will recall that the Minister directed us to ensure that there are no disruptions, even when there are power outages. Is also the installation of water tanks at almost all our offices to make sure that we are not impacted by any water disruptions. So I'll then go into the investment plan in terms of the high-level deliverables for networks. So one of the things that we committed to before the committee was that we're going to go back and look at the DHA investment plan, both ourselves and CETA. And this was one of the priorities which we really looked at the rollout and the deployment of an uninterrupted network architecture. Of course, we do note that in order for us to perform optimally as a department, we need a reliable and high capacity network, which is essential to our operations or daily operations. But there are really three strategic goals that guide this investment. The first one really looks at the support, the maintenance, and the ensuring that you have a secure critical infrastructure. The second one is to ensure that you improve efficiencies and, of course, the effectiveness of the DHA operations. And lastly, you need to make sure that you increase access and transparency to local government and the citizens. I think just speak to some of these issues, and I know my colleague, the executive caretaker at CETA, Mr. Keise, will speak more to some of these issues, in particular around how do we ensure that we have a secured critical infrastructure. Yesterday, we had an outage in some of those areas due to cable theft. And that takes a bit of time, but we're happy to report that with the relationship that we've built with CETA, the network challenges that we had in the Eastern Cape and Western Cape, where the switching centers had an outage as a result of cable theft, were resolved this morning because of the turnaround times that we now have with CETA. So we'll also speak to the DHA and CETA have made several investments in support of the implementation of the investment plan in a phased approach. Of course, we might not have all the required funding in this current financial year. And in the further slides, you'll be able to note the progress that we're making. And of course, CETA has been able to make a substantial investment totaling about 3 to 4 billion with regards to some of these issues that we are referring to. Similarly, as Home Affairs, we are making an investment. Of course, ours will obviously be much more than what CETA is investing. Of course, more funding will be required for further implementation of the investment plan. And then the second area that we committed to was really around ensuring that we proactively monitor the environmental systems on the CETA switching centers to prevent downtimes. The fact that CETA was able to respond to these challenges in the Eastern Cape and the Western Cape yesterday, it's a result of the proactive monitoring that is now in place, where we're referring to the remote environmental management solution. And to this end, they have contracted a service provider, and they've ordered equipment, and implementation with regards to this will be completed by the end of June 2022. And you will note, Chair, some of the deadlines are a bit longer, because of governance processes that have to be followed by ourselves and CETA. And then on this slide, we also committed that we will ensure that the next generation network remedial plan is in place. And to this end, the status that we can provide to the committee is that the software-defined networking is modernizing, is to ensure that we modernize the aging core network infrastructure so that we prevent the impact of switching center outages on DHA front offices. To this end, we appreciate the support that we've received from the CETA board that has approved the appointment of the SDN service provider. The contract is to be finalized by the end of November 2021, which means today, just to remind the executive caretaker. Then the other area there to emphasize is that CETA then has committed to ensure that they define the regional implementation based on the approved design as per the award to the service provider as part of phase one. And of course, the last point to emphasize there is the implementation of phase one of the project should be completed by the end of March 2022. You will note, Chair, it's just 3 months since we last appeared before the committee, and we've made a lot of progress in these areas with regards to how CETA has been able to turn around some of these timelines. Of course, we keep pushing the colleagues to make sure that some of these activities might be able to run parallel. Then there was a commitment around the CETA core network layer. And here we made a commitment, or CETA made a commitment to appoint a secondary service provider that has been initiated for high availability of the CETA core network. So that's the progress that we're able to report on with regards to that. And then on slide 8, you will note that on the internet failover, which is something that CETA committed to assist us with, so that we're able to reduce the outage impact on DHA services, which are dependent on internet services. For example, your card payment systems at our offices, your online verification. That work is progressing quite well. And the contract with the new service provider for the internet services has been concluded and migration is completed. And therefore, the backup links for both Centurion and Cape Town, that has been completed as well. And the internet failover between Cape Town and Centurion and vice versa, that should be concluded by March 2022. So that's significant progress that has been made. And during the last presentation, we also shared with the committee around the work that we're doing with regards to the VSAT flat panel, which was fitted on one of the mobile trucks. This work is continuing. The mobile truck has been going around the country being tested to make sure that at least by the time this is deployed, it works. So on the next slide, on slide number 8, again, there's a proof of concept. And if you'll recall, I think Honorable Ross raised these issues during our last presentation around the fact that we've chosen the option of bronze as part of our agreement with CETA. And there was a recommendation or the urge from the committee was that we need to make sure that we move to where we have multiple access links. And to that extent, we've agreed with CETA that we should have a proof of concept for identified multiple access links, particularly looking at the gold status. To that extent, these have been sites have been identified, and this proof of concept, Chair, will then inform our way forward with regards to what sort of SLA do we desire in working with CETA around this. We've already indicated that the Department of Home Affairs has submitted a list of sites currently connecting with multiple access links. We've identified 5 sites from the list for the proof of concept. And of course, once all those dependencies, Chair, have been addressed, the proof of concept will then be conducted for a period of 2 months, and then the multiple access links at all sites must have the same bandwidth speed. Then the next area is really around the consolidation of access links per province. There are 2 activities here. One is to ensure that you have a revised approach for connectivity per region. The second one is really the migration of access links from copper-based technology to other technologies. The executive caretaker spoke at length about these challenges with regards to copper theft in particular. So the progress that we can report to date is that the replacement of the Diginet with LET as a quick win within 2 months of the 133 sites, these have been identified, and incrementally this will then be implemented and concluded by March 2022. And of course, one of the things that CETA has done is to ensure that they've appointed a single service provider per region, and they would like to, or they are currently using the Northwest province as a pilot as they currently work around the evaluating of some of these activities with regards to the bids and the technical specifications for other provinces. We hope this will be published by the end of December 2021, and they are expecting that the appointment of a service provider for all provinces should be concluded by the end of September 2022. This might seem like a long lead time, Chair, but if you are to follow governance processes, we have to ensure that we stick to those governance processes to ensure that we don't attract other undesirable activities. And then there was a commitment that we made around ensuring that there's a power supply at all our home affairs facilities. This was our responsibility. We can report to this committee that this has been done. Almost all our modernized sites, in particular the 176 offices, have generators to ensure that there's power supply continuity during load shedding or power outages, including what I've just said earlier, the water tanks. And then, of course, we have a challenge around the 292 non-modernized sites where we still need to look at other alternative forms of technology or energy to make sure that these sites have uninterrupted power supply. And to date, what we currently are doing is that we have encouraged all our front office managers to make sure that there's sufficient diesel for our backup generators. And of course, working with our property management colleagues, including at the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, is to ensure that there's regular testing and maintenance of all backup generators to make sure that we continue to provide services irrespective of load shedding. And then, of course, on the local area network and the wide area network, where we made a commitment around the router switches, around the agency procurement contract, we were supposed as Home Affairs to submit the business case to CETA for the replacement of routers and switches. I did indicate at the beginning that some of these activities will require a significant amount of money to be invested. On an annual basis, we'll probably need to spend about 8 million. And if we are to replace most of this, we'll probably need an investment of about 100 million. So we currently are looking at other options, including the migration from a dedicated to a managed VPN, including which we do not support leasing routers and switches from the market. So the next slide then deals with how do we ensure that we have a secure enterprise architecture. And I think this is critical because there are a number of activities that we need to look at under this area. One is really to ensure that we look at the business architecture, the application architecture, the data architecture, the technology architecture, and an implementation plan. This will enable us then to achieve greater alignment between our information technology, information security, and business strategies, and should be able to guide the process of planning and designing the IT capabilities of Home Affairs so that we're able to meet the organizational objectives and goals that we have set ourselves. And CETA has offered to provide this service free of charge using their own personnel around ensuring that we are able to secure the enterprise architecture. And to that, we are grateful to the CETA team. And then on the application management, we committed to the full redesign of the live capture. We have tasked CETA to publish that request for bids for the live capture system. This project will take a bit longer, Chair. It will take about 12 months after the service provider is appointed. We hope to conclude some of these activities in terms of the process by the end of the year. And then progressively, of course, we'll need to move selected applications to more secured cloud investment, particularly tier three of the SITA cloud and environment. If we move to slide number 12, basically speaks to the information systems security operations center capability. I think you do know, Chair, around the cyber attacks that are ongoing, not only on government installations, and for us to ensure that our information systems are protected from cyber attacks. We've been having this engagement with SITA, and they are currently in the process of procuring and establishing what we refer to as a security operations center capability. And they've committed that this process should be finalized by the end of March 2022. And this will then assist us as Home Affairs, in particular our Enterprise Operations Center roadmap, and provide the Department of Home Affairs with preventative measures, which is crucial, and proactively detect any act around cyber attacks. And we believe that we should be onboarded in the quarter, in the first quarter of 2022-2023. So the next slide just basically illustrates the implementation plan for routers and switches. You'll note that it's a per financial year. In the 2022-23 financial year, those are the areas that we hope we should be able to invest in. And then 2023-24, mainly Gauteng, and then Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest and Northern Cape, and then 2024-25, Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, KZN and Northern Cape. And we have staggered this approach because we currently do not have the requisite funding to inject this funding that's required. So therefore, we've staggered this process so that we're able to get the desired results. Now, the next slide basically, it's to share with the committee how we've been able to roll out the implementation plan on routers and switches. You'll note that in the financial 2019-20, we were able to replace 100 of these routers and then 60. And then in the financial 2020-21, 50 and then 40 for the switches. And this financial year, we should be able to replace 30 of these routers and switches. Of course, it might look like it's minimal. It's based on the resources that are currently available. And then we hope that we'll start picking up pace in the 2022-23 financial year, as demonstrated in the previous slide. And we should be able to get to that 360 in terms of routers. And then in terms of switches, we should be able to get to 300. Okay, then the next slide basically speaks to, let's skip this slide. That's just another slide that speaks to some of the options that we have. In terms of our support services that's currently in place to monitor some of our functions, of course, at Hallmark, there's a team that's monitoring, providing support for the data center operations. And then at Centurion, there's a DHA team there as well. And then the SITA Operational Security and Internet Services team, and then DHA Information Systems Security, and of course the DHA Networks team, and then the SITA Applications Maintenance and Support, and then there's officials from SITA that are working on the WAN, on the internet links, on the power, cooling, et cetera, and then the mainframe applications and the SITA infrastructure support. So there's quite a lot of work that has been done since we last appeared before this committee in terms of how we've operationalized some of the activities. If you look at the next slide, it basically shares with the committee the governance structures that we've put in place. We currently have ongoing engagements on a quarterly basis. And then for the last quarter, the last meeting that we had was on the 15th of October 2021. These are meetings that are driven by myself and the executive caretaker at SITA together with the executives. And we hope that during quarter four, we should be able to meet again and either now or in early January. And what we've been doing at this meeting is really to look at the SITA DHA coordination and integration meetings. but also those are strategic task team meetings, which are meeting weekly. And then we also have the steering committees that are also meeting on a monthly basis to take stock of where we are with regards to the commitments that were made before the portfolio committee in order to improve our efficiencies. So the next slides then will then speak to the implementation of the branch appointment booking system. You'll recall, Chair, at the last meeting that we presented our plans, we spoke about this branch appointment system to ensure that we reduce the amount of people that visit our offices. So this slide just demonstrates the milestone plan, which is at, it's divided into about five phases. The first one was really to ensure that we conduct the system security test, which was successful, started on the 25th of October to the 12th of November. And then we then had to move to the quality assurance sign-off to test the systems to ensure that the systems are optimal. And that work started on the 15th of November to the 19th of November. And then we need to look at the user acceptance testing, or the UAT, and the regression testing. That work started on the 22nd of November to the 26th of November 2021. And then we hope from yesterday, we have started to look at going the go live or release admin until the 3rd of December, just to now really ensure that before this system is rolled out, all the things have been checked. And we hope to pilot in five offices, Chair, from the 3rd of December to the 31st of March. And these are mainly located in Gauteng. We're looking at Acacia, we're looking at the offices that have a high volume, we're looking at Byron, and then in the Western Cape, we're looking at Wynberg, we're looking at Paarl, in KZN, Honorable Pile, we're looking at Tongat, just to test the, of course, the appointment booking system. If it's therefore successful, then we should be able to roll it out to other offices. Now, parallel to this is work that we're doing with the banks around the more or less the same issue in terms of increasing our footprint. And they are also working around some of these activities to make sure that they provide us with the requisite support. So the next slide then provides a progress on the health facilities implementation plan, again, to reduce queues in our offices. And you will note that on this slide, it's really the implementation strategy as per the classification of health facilities. If we can go to slide, the next slide, Adam, you will note that the rollout of this strategy is based on the five priorities. So the first priority will be hospitals that where the birth rate is more than 5,000 live births, or 400 beds per month. And then the type of service that we offer there, we have a full-time presence. They operate like our offices from 7:30 until 15:30. Of course, we have to ensure that we optimize the 41 priority health facilities. And then the second priority will be to look at offices that's got beds between 5,000 to 2,000. And again, similarly, we have a full-time presence to ensure that we optimize priority two and three health facilities. And then the third priority is to look at those health facilities that have a birth rate between 2,000 and 1,000. Again, because of the numbers that are lesser, you then have a part-time presence. At least we're there in the morning until lunchtime. Mainly looking at priority three, at the 101 health facilities. Then the fourth priority looks at facilities that have live births between 1,000 and 500. Of course, there we can't have a full-time personnel. We then provide a roaming service, which will include 4 to 5 health facilities per official. And then the last one is the fifth priority, again, a roaming service. So one of the priority health facilities will include hospitals such as Baragwanath, where you know that you are likely to get more birth with a high birth rate and others. And the introduction of this chair has really ensured that you have fewer mothers that are coming through to register for births at our offices. So we'll want to, it's one of the priorities that the Deputy Minister has said, we need to ensure that there's an uptake, but also we communicate more and ensure that we strengthen the relationship that we have with the Department of Health so that people are able to optimally use these facilities. If we can move to the next slide, Adam, you'll know that on this slide, we're just signaling that we currently have 160 health facilities with network connectivity. Out of these, 121 can issue a birth certificate on the spot, which I think is quite a good progress. And then the 39 that cannot issue on the spot are due to the inadequate IT equipment, including your online verification scanners and human resources. And this is an area that we're working on, and we will be able to deploy additional IT equipment to these health facilities. And then, of course, we have a bit specifications document that has been generated for network connectivity at additional health facilities. This has been finalized with CETA, and we hope they should be able to advertise this before the 15th of December 2021. And of course, the revised bit specification document for the mobile structures in health facilities that do not have space, because there are offices that do not have space or facilities that do not have space for the Department of Home Affairs. That will be presented to the BAC on the 1st of December. That is tomorrow, so that if it's finalized, then it's then out. So that's the progress that we've made with regards to that area. Now, the crucial one of the things that we're requested to respond to is how far we've gone with regards to the automated biometric identification system, or ABIS. On the 27th, you'll recall, Chair, of October, we made a presentation to the portfolio committee on the steps that the department was taking to rescue the ABIS project, and then followed by the meeting on the 25th of May, where we came back to the portfolio committee and indicated that we have received all the support or approvals from Treasury for the assignment or the seeding of the ABIS contract to IDEMIA, and the assignment and seeding was concluded in March 2021. And IDEMIA has undertook to deliver phase one of the ABIS project from the 1st of May 2021 to December 2021. And the next slides will then provide the committee with an update with regard to the commitment that we have made. You'll recall, Chair, that we entered into this amended and restated Master Turnkey Solutions Agreement with IDEMIA in line with the necessary conditions and the scope of the project as per the initial tender requirements on the 31st of March 2021. There was then a handover process between EOH and IDEMIA that took place during the month of April 2021. And during this period, EOH then handed over all ABIS documents produced during the EOH tenure and update IDEMIA on the technical work that's been performed so far. The following tasks also commenced during the month of April 2021. One of them was really to do project scoping and planning, the establishment of project structures, work streams, governance, onboarding of technical resources, and the project execution under IDEMIA commenced in May 2021. And we hope that we'll still be on track to finalize phase one in December 2021. So if we can move to the next slide, this basically gives you the architecture of the DHA high-level ABIS architecture. On the top right, you will note the data center. In terms of the ABIS project, this needs to be active. And below with another data center that needs to be active. And Mr. Mavuso was indicating that both these centers, the one is a hot site and the other one is a cold site. In terms of ABIS, both of them need to be active. They need to mirror each other's activities. In the middle, you can see the CETA wide area network and then the firewalls that are required to protect these installations or facilities. And then at the top, you'll note the activities that will be happening at the new corporation building or BVR, which will include your back office data capturing, your network management, security management, infrastructure management, and at the bottom, it's activities that will be happening at CETA, because you do need those backups, including your back office data capturing, network management, security management, and then you've got external parties that are accessing information from that will be accessing information from the ABIS, whether it's the Department of Justice, whether it's SARS, whether it's the police, government departments, and a number of banks that we have MOUs with. So including, of course, IEC for elections. So that just gives a high level ABIS infrastructure. And then the next slide just basically gives an ABIS phase one roadmap. You'll note that we started in May 2021. We had a kickoff meeting with the executives from IDEMIA. We then had a stakeholder mobilization where we shared with them our vision and our case for change, including the stakeholder metrics in terms of who they need to work with. And then we started to do the operational mobilization, where we established the ABIS Project Management Office, which is led by Mr. Richard Stolz in the office of the DG. And then we then had to do an analysis as to what is currently in the back office support system, and of course, including immigration services and other activities. And then colleagues had to look at the change agent network. And then we started bringing the business processes on board. And that was June 2021. And then the business requirement validation. And then we started looking at what impact will this have on people? Will this have on processes and technology? And then, of course, we had to ensure that the business is ready. We had to prepare the business, get the data centers to be ready. And then, of course, the data migration process. And of course, we needed to ensure that there's a system integration testing, and of course, the user acceptance testing, abbreviated as UAT and SIT. Apologies for using those abbreviations, Chair. But this process requires ongoing testing, integration, and validation and migration. It's not an easy process, Chair, because we continuously have to attend to some of these issues. And of course, the team had to develop training material, and then the rollout of that. And currently where we are, it's really around the business readiness action. And there are things that we're running parallel. This committee in particular requested us to consider, if you recall, Chair, I think it was Honorable Bongo, to then say, what are the things that we can run parallel in terms of phases? So we've basically looked at that, and there are things that we are currently running parallel. And once we've accepted the tests, we should be able to go live where we believe in the next few weeks with regards to that. And then we can then move to phase two. So the next slide basically gives you an ABIS progress update. Just before that, there was a slide that I thought I'll share with the committee on the work streams that we had. Unfortunately, that's not there, but it's fine. I'll then proceed. As indicated in the previous report, while we've made good progress in the bill process following the cessation of that contract to IDEMIA, of course, we have encountered a number of constraints with some of the work streams. In particular, it's been maybe let me share with the committee that there are about six work streams that are looking at the implementation of ABIS. The first one looks at data migration. The second one looks at infrastructure, in particular, data center and the networks. And then the third one looks at security. Fourth one looks at applications and interfaces, including integration testing. And then the fifth one looks at the impact on people, change management and training. And the last one looks at business process mapping. So on data migration, I'm happy to report while it was on amber, we've now moved to green this morning. And in particular, we were looking at data extraction. And Richard was informing me this morning that To date, they've managed to migrate about 50 million records. So that's a good progress. And of course, the ingestion of some of the remaining data is still in progress. I think we now are receiving much more better cooperation from NEC, whereas when we started, that was not the case. And then the progress update on the infrastructure data center networks, Chair, we're on track, we're ready for production, and then on security as well, we're ready for production. And then on applications and interfaces, including integration testing, last night, four of the six interfaces had been completed for integrated testing. And this morning we were told that there's only one that need to be finalized, which looks at commercial online verification. So that's where we are. So we've made a lot of progress on that. And then on change management and training, that's on track. The ABIS training for impacted staff, that's ongoing. And then the business process mapping, the development of linear mechanical solution is almost complete. And of course, the business scenario testing, that's in progress. So I just thought, let me share with the committee where we are with regards to the stage three testing and the run. Of course, we can move to the next slides. Adam, I think I've spoken to this. So we therefore are requesting the portfolio committee to note the update with regards to the ABIS phase one completion. And of course, the progress that we've made to resolve, Chair, the network connectivity as well as long queues at our Department of Home Affairs offices. Thank you, Chair, and it's back to the Deputy Minister. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Makode, for your detailed presentation. And members will be able to interact with the progress report. We'll also get responses from the team Home Affairs led by the DM and CETA and the Department of Communication. How we're going to run our comments and questions to the presentation, we'll allow members, honorable members, to comment or raise questions and perhaps recommend on some of the issues you are raising. And then we'll then request the team, the CIO, Mr. Nhlanhla, then request Mr. Keiso. We then request a comment from the board chair, Mr. Tseke. We then request the DG, Mr. Makode. We then request the DG, Ms. Jordan Jani. And then the summary comment from the minister. That is an order we're going to, so that we'll manage our meeting. If there's no issue for comment, members who we've identified for responses will indicate. It's not compulsory. I'm just wanted to so that we get ownership and commitment in terms of implementation to this presentation that jointly has been presented. I think that is appreciated. I'm going to request Honorable Pillay, Honorable Ross, Honorable Molekwa, Honorable Tito, Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Mkwini, Honorable Lizel, Honorable Khwase, and Honorable Modise Mja to interact with the presentation. Honorable Pillay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much, DG, for that presentation and report. Chair, I think we must commend the work that has been done, and we must appreciate the efforts that have been made and the progress in terms of how we want to address some of the serious challenges that we've been experiencing. Mine, I'm just going to be very specific. The first one is just to have some clear timelines in terms of specifics. The department reported on the partnership with CETA in terms of addressing the system downtime. Can we have a little bit more details and to be specific in terms of what was the nature of that partnership and what has been achieved thus far? I also have a request in terms of the pilot booking system that DG reported on, and perhaps a suggestion if we could look at increasing the number of sites on the pilot with a direct focus on some of the busiest offices, so that we can be able to get or gauge whether this is really working for us. The last one, ideally, we would love to have all our offices to become smart offices. Can we have a clear indication of what the department's plans are to achieve this with timelines, and perhaps even tabulate, which offices, when, and how far, and what the progress on that is? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pillay, for your contributions and questions. Honorable Ramalobe. Honorable Ross.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the presenters. Allow me to say bravo. I think this shows what can happen when this committee and the department work together. And I think it's very encouraging to see the progress. I think we look at the 2020-21 annual report, and we see that Home Affairs said it needs another 200 million to implement this network architecture. Chair, I believe this is essential. This should not be something where we say that there's not enough funding. And so I just wanted to get a bit more detail about exactly what steps are being taken to get this funding. I think there's a few issues on this. Number one is, we have a shortfall on projected revenue versus the actual revenue at Home Affairs of 251 million. And so a great contributor to that is the fact that Home Affairs offices are down so much. And we find that the 200 million that we need to implement this network architecture, if the system was up, we'd have 251 million per year potentially. So this is surely something that needs to be considered by Home Affairs, especially when it seeks funding, the fact that there's such a clear business case in order to get this funding to complete the project, how much more revenue the department will get. And I think also the legal claims against the department, for the department to really work at that. If you consider that, potentially about R500 million worth of legal claims, the department just loses them every time. And it's because they are taking too long to respond to basic requests. And so that is another area where a substantial amount of money can be saved. And my final question in that regard to the department is whether you've managed to do an estimate on the loss to the economy from the downtime that is caused by the system offline issues. And it's a question I have for the Department of Communications as well, is we have a scenario where 10 years ago, the United Nations declared internet access as a basic human right. So over 10 years ago, they said that this is essential for every person to have internet access, to be able to express themselves, to be able to exercise their constitutional rights. But here in South Africa, I don't see from the Department of Communications necessarily a plan on how we can provide this internet access across government departments, where we can achieve economies of scale and so forth. It seems to be a one-on-one. So with the Department of Home Affairs and CETA on one department, then on another department. So I'd like to know from communications, what is the plan in this regard to ensure that all government departments, that this kind of problem is resolved across the board? And then finally, in terms of IDEMIA, I'd just like to understand what safeguards are in place that are built into this contract to make sure that we don't see what we had with EOH and these contracts where people or entities come, they do not fulfill their contractual obligations, and then they seem to get away with it. So I'd like to understand what safeguards are built in. Number one, to ensure that there are penalties for non-performance, and number two, that they would be unable to just get out of the contract scot-free. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ross. I'm sure the question that you've posed to communication in terms of their plan, I'm convinced that they might have also presented it to the portfolio committee of communication. I'm just wanted to make it easier so that they are not found put in a corner on the issues that are relating to another comment. But thanks for your comments and the and questions and recommendation. Honorable Molekwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also start by appreciating the presentation as presented by both Home Affairs and Twitter, and also commend their sterling work in order to make sure that the issue of AIDS is attended to. Chairperson, I also want to encourage the department and Twitter to stick to their action plan as indicated in their presentation, to make sure that there is stability in the system, and also they should stick to their time frame as presented. Another one, Chairperson, is that we hope the issue of that time will be the issue of the past, because now at least there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I don't have any question but to welcome the report as presented, and also encourage the Home Affairs Center to make sure that they keep on updating the portfolio committee on the progress report. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Molekwa, for your comments, and Honorable Tito.
Thanks, Chair. Greetings to my colleagues and everyone who is present today. Chair, I'm only going to ask two questions. On slide 27, the department present a graphic presentation of phase one implementation that is showing us that is from 1 May 2021 to 1 December 2021. Is phase one still on schedule to be completed by 1 December 2021? And then my second question, Chair, is how much of the 450 million that was allocated for ABUS has been spent today? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tito, Honorable, for your contributions. Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to everyone in the meeting today. Chairperson, I also like to commend the department on the great progress they have made on various issues that they have presented today. Especially when it comes to the issue of the appointment booking system, which I also do believe that is going to assist us a lot in terms of reducing the long queues or managing the influx in various processes. However, I have missed the names of the officers that the DG has mentioned in Johannesburg, and I would like for him to repeat those officers, because when one finds time, I think it would be a good initiative that we go and conduct an oversight to assist the department in determining if this appointment system is actually working. Another issue that I have picked up is that these pilots project, there isn't one office in the rural areas that have been identified. I'd like to suggest to the department if they can actually look into the rural areas as well. I think we do know that we have a number of issues in rural areas in terms of network connectivity, in terms of people not being able to access the online services. I think most of them, they'll be using the SMS. So while they pilot this project, I think it will be a good thing to also identify one of the rural areas that they can actually pilot in. Another question that I'm having, it's in line with the timelines that my colleagues have also been talking on. The department has made a presentation on the birth registrations and indicated that there's 39 offices that still does not have access to IT equipment and officials to mend those offices, but they have also indicated that they are going to deploy those required resources to the various offices. I'd like to know by when does the department think this is going to be done? And there was a slide that spoke to the Northwest being used also as a pilot, where CITA will be appointing a single service provider. They have also indicated that the bid is currently being evaluated. At what stage is this bid on? And the second question that we have is that by when do they think they're going to finish with this? Those are my only questions, Chairperson. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kanyile, for your comments and questions. Honorable Mqueen.
No, thank you very much, Chair. I think most of my questions have been covered by my colleagues. That is the downside of actually having to speak like in a very after so many speakers. But I just wanted to ask that I think there's some just one or two questions that I have for the department. I think last time I think we said let's identify one of those busy home affairs areas and see if we can do an intervention. For example, the one in Johannesburg and some of the ones that have been on TV, and ensure those ones are operating and those no and there are no issues. And most probably those are the ones that we start with the intervention in terms of this new technology that the department is trying to introduce. Where they managed, my question would be then, have they managed to identify very critical or very busy home affairs so that they are able to introduce this new system that they actually want to actually put? And then number two will be to say that are we still having these long queues that have been having a problem with them? Have we with these interventions that we are doing at this point in time, are there still queues out there? And then also the system downtown, have they done any analysis to check now if there's any improvement from the last time we had a meeting up until now? So are there any improvements now in terms of the system downtown, which is actually there? And then the other one would be to say, are there still very long queues that are actually there? Are we intervening? And probably number three would be to say that have they identified one of those busiest home affairs that they can do an intervention on? So the one that are, you know, there are a lot of people which are actually coming in, so that we don't have this noise. Because if you remember in Tata, there was a problem there that there's a system, downtown in that area. And you know that the area that home affairs is servicing so many rural villages around the area. So have you done that analysis as actually we advised last time in the meeting, so that you can start interventions and ensure that this noise has actually come down? Thank you very much, Chairperson. Those are my few interventions. And I think that the guys are moving and all of that, but it will be nice with their presentation. They don't use a lot of jargon. Hey, there's a lot of IT jargon there. Sometimes you don't even understand it, but maybe they make this presentation a bit easier just to understand at our level, you know, but it's good. Thank you very much.
No, thanks, Honorable Mqueen, for your comments and contributions. Honorable Lize.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you for the opportunity. Greetings to you, Chairperson, and our colleagues in the Portfolio Committee, as well as our colleagues from Home Affairs and Communications. Chairperson, I think it's obviously a very good day for our DG, because I think all my colleagues before me have thanked him for a wonderful presentation and as well as the progress being made. So let me also just add my voice to that. My questions, of course, will be brief because most of my colleagues have asked what we wanted to know. But on slide 20, when we speak about the appointment system, like Honourable Kanyile said, that we are very, you know, this is obviously a step in the right direction. It's exciting times that we'll be having a platform where we can be making bookings. And with regards to it being piloted, I wanted to ask the DG, how will these appointments, will your clients have to use your call center to to make these appointments, because as you know that there are concerns that your call center is always not always so functional. So will we be using a WhatsApp platform like SASA utilizes for bookings, or will it be telephonic bookings or bookings via SMS? The DG did briefly touch as well on the relationship with banks, and we keep on talking about the relationship we've got with banks, but I feel that the rollout of Home Affairs services to our banks are slow, and maybe just an update in terms of plans to extend our footprint to banks next year. And similarly, I've been speaking to the DG about mobile trucks and servicing rural areas, because currently the Department of Social Development is engaging in public hearings, and everywhere where we go in these far-flung areas, the concern is that, you know, the officers are not online servicing them, and so mobile trucks are very important to service these rural areas. So I also wanted to know, what are the plans for procuring more of these VSAT mobile trucks in 2020? And then two last questions with regards to Treasury allowing the ABIS contract to be ceded to a new service provider. I wanted to get an update. What penalty fee was paid by EOH, if they've paid a penalty as yet? And will the new service provider be able to complete the ABIS project within the initial projected timeframe and budget? If we can just get the details there. And finally, Chairperson, if the DG can just give us an update on how far they've gone in implementing the forensic report recommendations regarding the EOH matter. Maybe just an update on disciplinary actions and cases referred to law enforcement agencies. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
No, thanks very much, Co-Chair Lizelle. Thanks very much for your contributions and the comments. Honorable Lokhwase, if you're back. Honorable Modise Mtsa.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Let me welcome Mr. Ntanta, the new CIO. We hope that you'll be able to carry on with this concrete foundation that the departments have built on. Indeed, today's progress report that we're receiving is exciting and it's encouraging, Chair. We all envisage that we'll be able to aid and better the services that our officers are providing. Chair, in the last meeting, when we got presentations, there was no proper coercion on the report. And I also want to thank the Department of Home Affairs and CETA. Today's progress report at least shows that there's proper collaboration and working together in between the entities and the departments, and it is very commendable. We will soon be approaching our budget vote as a department, and having taking from the budget presentation by the Minister of Finance in the previous week, I want to know if the department's budget priorities are also in line with the key areas that have been highlighted, including the 200 million funding that they've just highlighted in their presentation now that it is needed. The implementation phases may not be, or the presentation have not shed much light on it, but it is encouraging to see that there are targets. Timelines, and we really hope and encourage the department to stick to those timelines, because the sooner we implement these projects, the sooner we can be able to provide efficient services for our people. So I think most of my colleagues would have asked questions. I just wanted to make those comments to say we are really encouraged by today's presentation, and we really hope that the department will stick to the timelines and stick within the budget or the funding that they have, so that they can make sure that we have a successful full implementation of this project. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Modise Mtsa, for your contributions. Is there any other member who still want to comment? Okay. Thanks, members, for your comment and interaction to the report. Well appreciated as presented collectively with the Team Home Affairs and CETA. And we hope that once we're at the implementation phase and responding to the demands of our people on the ground, and I think that the committee will be highly appreciating to the work that this department have shared with us and the people of South Africa. It's quite important that you are bringing confidence to the work that you are doing. And I think you have taken to the core the recommendation of the portfolio committee in terms of what are the areas you must look. And I think this report responds to the call and recommendation of the committee. One area I think that Mr. Kieso, you ought to respond. I wanted just to check on the how secure is this system at the level of Home Affairs in relation to the cybersecurity threat. I think if we can expand also just to ascertain the security area in terms of that area. So what we're going to do, we're going to request, as I've indicated, the team to make comment and respond in terms of the issues that members have raised. I think in the main, generally, members are commenting on the work that you are doing. The only area is focused on implementation and the budget allocation to the key areas that we have identified as the progress work. I will invite Mr. Nhlanhla, Mr. Kieso, Mr. Tseka for comment, and the DG Makhode, DG Jordan Dani, and then the Deputy Minister, so that we are one on the issues that members have raised. And I think Mr. Nhlanhla, the new CIO, as you have been welcome, welcome you to the committee and also the department, and congratulations on your new appointment. Mr. Nhlanhla.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honorable MPs. Morning, DG Makhode and DG from DCDT, and commissioners from BMA and my colleagues. First, I'd like to thank the committee for a warm welcome to Home Affairs and to this meeting. I'd also like to thank the committee for keeping an eye on what work is being done within the department on behalf of the people of South Africa. In responding to the first question from Honorable Pillay, I suspect we may have to send more detailed information beyond the timelines that were given. When we were preparing for this, we were not sure of the level of detail we could go into because some of the things are just too detailed, too technical, but we have tried to at least give timelines based on the dates for each of the programs as outlined by the DG. And the nature of the partnership, much as we appreciate the commendations from the parliamentarians, it's a colleague referred to it as a marriage. We are like married to CETA, so we do have our ups and downs, and yes, we have made some progress. And therefore, the nature of the partnership is not just transactional, it's not just service provider. It's somewhat maybe that of siblings, because we are in the same family of government. And I guess that's partly what talks to what has been achieved. But I think in response to your question, Honorable Delay, we may have to then, either after this meeting, send a more detailed presentation with some of the slides that we had left out. I'll seek guidance from the DG on that one, or maybe talk further on this in this session. We are certainly focusing on the busy offices in terms of piloting for the booking system. And I just wanted to get confirmation on the offices here. And yes, I've just received that information. But we are prioritizing the busy offices, the ones that we identified for the booking system. It's Byron, Acacia, Pearl, Weinberg, and Tongat. Yeah, but the comment that has been made, I think, by Honorable Kanyile on focusing on rural areas is well noted, and I'll feedback to colleagues about increasing the number of offices. Indication on what the department's plans are to achieve this with timelines, tabulate which offices and timelines, I will request that you get back to the portfolio committee on that, or maybe by form of correspondence, send the project that tabulates that information. I don't have it off the top of my head, sorry. In response to Honorable Rose, thanks for expressing support for the funding request. As far as I know, the steps that we've taken so far have been to see where we can realize savings. We have submitted motivations through the Chief Financial Officer for additional funding, but it has been made clear to us that each request for additional funding needs to identify where that additional funding will come from. So one of the things that we may have to come back to this committee with are those areas, and we have to come back partly to account and to update you with information. But you also might need quite a bit of support, because as we move things around, some of the companies that might be affected are fairly influential and they lobby. So we have identified possible inefficiencies or savings based on the changes in technology. As an example, we are currently on a Zoom platform. Strictly speaking, we should not be using it because it's costing money, and government has other platforms that it has invested in and won't cost money. So those are the kinds of things that we are already looking at. I'm going to ask for help on the legal claims cost from my other colleagues. I don't know what the figures are. And yes, the idea of looking at the cost estimate of downtime is welcome. We haven't done it, certainly not from the IS branch point of view yet. But it would be important to do it, because internet connectivity skills and unfettered access to knowledge and technology are three key components for a country to be competitive. So downtime is definitely very costly from whichever way we look at it. But I'm not aware of any exercise to that effect. And the plan to ensure connectivity, I guess my colleagues from DCTT will talk to that a bit more. We have approached, in addition to what we have presented here and what the DG said in relation to our talking to the bank, we have also started talking to metros and provincial government entities that have invested in this. In an office like Randburg should never suffer downtime because of what has gone into the city of Joburg and the Gauteng provincial government broadband plans. So we have made approaches in that regard, and unfortunately the responses are coming in slowly, but we're going to be chasing up on that. But I'm sure that there's more work from the DCTT point of view. And yes, I agree that internet connectivity should be added to the baskets of basic rights for humans and for South Africans. IDEMIA checks and balances are in place in terms of the master services agreement. In fact, when things started looking like they were not going to go according to plan recently, DG sent a letter pointing out that you might invoke penalties if the colleagues from IDEMIA don't stick to those promises. And there was a quick response from them and attempts to make sure that they stick to those. So the checks and balances in terms of making sure that the contractors are held accountable in place. Thanks for the comments, Honorable Mulekwa. We'll definitely continue to stick to the action plan, and we will keep updating the portfolio committee, I guess. I'll leave that to DM run with. As far as I know, Honorable Tito, phase one is on track. It has to be on track, but I trained as a software developer, and one of the things we know is things tend to go wrong, especially when you say things are on track. But at this stage, all things being equal, we are planning to deliver in line with our time lines that have been put. How much of the 450 million rands allocated has been spent to date? From what I was told by Mr. Stoltz, we've already spent 500 million rands, but I'll ask maybe CFOs here to confirm that. Responding to Honorable Kanile, I've given the booking system office names, Byron, Acacia, Pal, Weinberg, and Tongat. And yes, I think we should look at rural areas. In fact, we should be prioritizing those because of the long distances that people have to travel just to get to some of the offices. In terms of the rural areas, of course, we've also been rolling out getting our mobile trucks to be very active there. But this pilot will certainly help a lot. Offices without ICT equipment, I'll ask to come back to the committee with the dates in terms of what we're going to do with those that don't have equipment. I think that is in the project plan. I don't have it off the top of my head again. Apologies. And the same with the CETA network pilot. I think the CETA colleagues, Northwest pilot ETA, I think the colleagues from CETA will then talk to them in terms of the expected delivery time for that. From Honorable Mtuini, some of the offices, other than ones that I've listed, in fact, I need to talk to Byron a bit. Byron is one of our, what I would call class A or success story offices. It gets very busy because it's very effective. So due to the speed with which they process things and they try to reduce queues, word gets around and then more and more people come to the Byron office. But it remains one of our success stories. And this is largely due to the commitment of the management in that office. Apart from the office that I've mentioned already, which include Byron, we've also had interventions for offices like Alberton, Randburg, and Edenvale, where there have been cases of delays, et cetera. And direct contact with the officials has also resulted in some of the improvements happening sooner, but also more possible improvements identified. As an example, at the Edenvale office, which is located next to the SARS office, we are trying to work towards a situation where when someone visits the SARS office, they have the same experience when they visit the Home Affairs office at Edenvale. It shouldn't be as different as it currently is, including the acoustics, all the human experience factors like standing in a shaded area, etc. But yes, we do still have queues. And when we visit some of these offices, yes, some of the queues are getting shorter. But as I say, in some cases, they might be longer because of wait getting around. What has really been a headache for us is downtime. And DG referred to a network theft, cable theft. What you are seeing now is not even cable theft because some of these are fiber optic cables. They get cut. And I'm not sure whether it's a simple act of vandalism or it's sabotage. But the one that resulted in downtime yesterday affecting the Western Cape, Eastern Cape and parts of the Northern Cape, the CETA lines, the lines connecting the CETA switching centers had been cut at multiple points. So that will certainly have an effect on the queues, no matter what we've done in the other area. Has there been any analysis to check improvements since the last meeting? We keep being asked about what impact we are realizing. We haven't maybe presented in an analytical way that these are the trends and these are the numbers, but we have seen an improvement. So it's a yes and no in that as we prepared, for instance, for this presentation, we had to see what the impact has been, but we haven't measured it. And the other thing that has happened since the last meeting is there has been a more proactive use of the mobile trucks, and we've seen those making a difference. Apologies, Honorable Ntoni, for the ICT jargon. Part of the job of a CIO is to remove the techno bubble from some of the presentation. So we'll make sure that gets corrected. Honorable Funder Mathers' question on whether clients will have to use the call center. No, they will be sending SMSs as part of the booking. There's a web-based and SMS-based booking system. So they won't have to call the call center, Honorable Funder Mathers. There was a presentation that in the previous session of this system, but we can arrange maybe for that presentation to be sent through or for it to be made again. And there are plans to extend footprint at the banks. The biggest holdup has been the downtime that we've had with some of our systems, and the banks have then been reluctant to buy in or to come in large numbers until they are sure that our systems are stable. So that's the other thing that's made this very urgent. There are certainly plans for more mobile trucks, and the CFO may speak to more numbers based on what is allocated. But one of the things that we seek to do is look at the architecture within those trucks, the technology architecture, and see whether we can come up with improvements that make these trucks cheaper and therefore make it possible for us to acquire more of them than we are currently acquiring. I will ask for help on the question on the penalty fee paid by EOH, but we have been advised that the new service provider will, it's not just the new service provider, we are part of the project, so we will have to complete, and we have undertaken to complete within the time frame. I would ask for the CFO to advise on the budgetary part, whether it will still be within the budget or not, given the figures I gave earlier. And I'll ask for help on the EOH forensic recommendations. I only realized yesterday that I haven't received much background on that one. There was another forensic report that was received on the visa adjudication system, and I think we'll be updating the committee on that when the time comes. But we've received recommendations, and some of those recommendations apply to these other areas. Again, thanks for your comments, Honorable Modise Mpia. And we definitely will be including the ICT request for more funding in the budget vote as far as I am concerned. But as I said, we've been challenged or invited to try and find other savings, and we are very busy with that exercise. And we believe that we will find some areas where we can save. Partly, and the teacher touched on this briefly without mentioning the savings part of it, but when we use the secure CETA-controlled cloud and move some of our services there, for instance, that should see us reducing our costs. And yes, we definitely plan to stick to implementation timelines. This one gets me into trouble with the DG because some of these timelines were set before I arrived, and I'm not sure how realistic they are. So we may have to come back if it turns out that they are not, but whichever, either way, our intention is to stick to them or even exceed them and finish things quickly. One of those is a pilot that we had run, which we thought would finish only in March, and it's already finished. It will be, today being the last day of November, it's already finished, so 4 months ahead of time. The last question from the chair, are the systems secure? The systems are not secure enough, chair. As we showed you on the ABIS architecture, the firewalls, et cetera, but even some of the firewall technologies are vulnerable. The system that we're using right now to talk to each other is more vulnerable than the ones that the government has to use. So we are not secure enough, and the work around making sure that the architecture, the enterprise architecture is secure and we introduce more security systems is precisely to address that. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nhlanhla. I'm not sure what do you want us to interpret your statement on the implementation phase when you say you and the DG, you seem not to I'm trying to rework my understanding on your statement, but what are you trying to say to the committee? Mr. Nhlanhla? Mr. Nhlanhla, I'm inviting you to, on your comment, on the statement, what are you trying to say to the committee? DG Makhode, before you go to Mr. Gates, I wanted to get a sense as to what Mr. Nhlanhla is trying to say to us so that we're able to interpret his statement. Maybe you can answer Mr. Makhode.
No, thank you, Chairperson. To be honest, I'm not sure what he's referring to. I think he's better placed to respond when he reconnects. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Can the DM, we try to get a sense when you close on the statement, or because I think this is an important meeting and the presentation. So our collective view is that if there are issues that the committee must know, you must take responsibility, DM. If there are issues that are hidden and you are attempting to raise statement that confuses the or misleads the committee, we're not going to appreciate that. And I want us to come back to that statement and clarify the committee. Thank you very much. Mr. Keiso?
Thank you very much, Chair. And morning again to you, Chair, honorable members, DM, and colleagues. I guess let me start I will be as brief and in simple English, Chair. To also indeed one confirm, Chair, that we are working together with Home Affairs. And I also congratulate the DG that he was also able to explain the IT related slides and all the work that we did together. Thank you, DG. And to confirm that there are now governance structures that are working both between us and Home Affairs, led by both us, myself and the DG, to ensure that we give direction on what needs to be done. And I can confirm Honorable Rose, Honorable Van der Merwe, and Honorable Twaku that this time is no longer a fight whether do you need this or don't you need that. There is a clear agreement that hands on deck, we must now implement the things that we need to implement. So hence then you have seen on the timelines of what we are doing. And I can confirm Honorable Mulweka, as CETA, we will stick to all of those timelines. And the DG for Home Affairs has also indicated that they will also stick to the timelines that they have put. So Honorable Chair, in spite of what Tanta have just said, but Home Affairs is clear that they will stick to the timelines that they have put themselves. Perhaps let me rather answer the broader questions, if you allow me, Honorable Chair, without going through them one by one, because there are basic questions about the work that we have done. Have we seen any practical improvements in terms of system downtime? A direct answer, Honorable Chair, is indeed yes. So. And we've even gone far where you have now can report that 133 offices have already been moved from your copper into at least LTE, and you are moving them to fiber. So we're doing that work already to ensure that there is practical improvement on the systems. And as you've seen also in some of the slides, there is more proactive monitoring of the service so that we don't wait when we hear that something goes down, but there is an upfront proactive monitoring of everything end to end to ensure that the systems are available and we share that information also with the Home Affairs team, even if what might cause the system to go down sits on their side, but there is at least that proactive monitoring view which we make available to them. Let me then address the broader questions you are asking, Honorable Rose, and as well as Honorable Mutisem here, around the investment. As you would have, and the investment and both the access to internet and internet services, which indeed is a human rights issue and also has an impact in terms of the economy, also has an impact in terms of our citizens being able to receive services. I can say without any doubt, as our minister has explained, when we appeared here last quarter, that LCETA, we are working with the department. We are working on an overall government plan that will ensure stable, reliable, effective, and efficient connectivity for all departments, so that you don't do piecemeal solutions. Today it's home affairs, and tomorrow you have health, the next day you have education, the other one you have another entity. So we're looking at how do we then ensure that working together between us and DCDT, we work on ensuring that there is what we call it our revised SA Connect model, which is basically looking into a revised broadband model that can be implemented across all facilities of the state. As you would note that in slides 13 and 14, that the DG has said, put in almost a five-year timeline to replace their internal infrastructure. We are looking at alternatives where CETA can also get in and take over the running and the management and the infrastructure around your local area networks, meaning the networks that sit inside the departments that departments like Home Affairs are responsible for. Move that entire service to CETA, where CETA can then also be in a position to even replace that infrastructure immediately within the next financial year. As you will see in slide 14, there are plans from 2019 up to 2024-25. So we're looking at what is it that we can do in partnership and addressing key departments like your Home Affairs, your SAPs, and others, where part of the plan for Minister is, can we move over this land infrastructure to CETA, where CETA can take over as its responsibility to replace the infrastructure, upgrade the infrastructure, make sure that there is end-to-end scalability of the service. So there are plans to that. We'll be going to Cabinet shortly to talk about that and what is it that we're proposing to do and the financial injection we can make for that to ensure that these things are done as quickly as possible. Because as you'll understand, Honorable Modisambia, even the 200 million is a drop in the ocean for the infrastructure that needs to be replaced and modernized within Home Affairs. So we're looking at how can we assist them. In addition to the 2 billion investment we have already announced, we have already made available, and we're already now on implementation, no longer on running tenders, but on implementing things. And most of what we need to finalize as contracts will be finalized not later than end of the next month of December, and the key implementation will indeed happen before end of your March. I think, Honorable Chair, you asked a broader question around the security of DHA systems and the core government network. I can give a direct commitment and an answer to say the core government network that we are responsible for, that we are running, is indeed safe, same as the cloud infrastructure that we are running, that Mr. Nhlanhla Mabaso was talking to, with a lot of security reviews, security management, and we are migrating as many applications as possible that are secured, that should be in a secure environment from specific departments to run from our own CETA cloud, secure CETA cloud infrastructure. What Nhlanhla might be talking to is that Home Affairs still has part of your legacy, older infrastructure that we need to replace with relatively newer infrastructure that is more, that also has better security. But I can also confirm, as it is there in some of the slides, the Security Operations Center or cybersecurity platform that CETA is implementing. Within the next 3 to 4 weeks, we will also be signing a contract, as we are done with the tender processes, for a partner that will come and implement an additional cybersecurity platform security solution that we'll make available to the rest of government, ensuring that for a start within the next 3 months, your entire network of CETA will also be monitored and run, and there will be additional security measures that we'll be putting in. So we made commitments of a half a billion funding into that. We are now implementing that. We are done with the tender processes. We will now be taking this matter, Chair, to the board for finalization, which will happen before end of December. And the implementation will happen within the next quarter to ensure that we continue to invest in securing government systems, your ICT-related systems, taking over the networks or the lands of departments, including Home Affairs, also has that, as is necessitated by our review of the security of the network of government. And we are indeed going to do that. And we do have financial resources within CETA, as well as human resources, to ensure that we monitor any security. I can confirm at this stage that there are no security incidents, Chair, that we have seen that are going on the network of Home Affairs that will affect the systems of Home Affairs, or security incidents that are happening on the core network of CETA, as we have resources that are monitoring the network of government, what CETA is responsible for in its entirety. I think let me rather stop there, Chair. And if there are any questions, we will take it from there, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Case. Just to go back to you, Mr. Case. So are you ascertaining that I'm trying to make sense on the statement, on the response of Mr. Nhlanhla, that the system are not fully secured. Is the same view that CETA is holding?
Thank you very much, Chair. You're right. Thank you very much, Chair. So the view that CETA is having is that you can never stop investing on securing the systems of government. And I can put it in writing if it needs be, that the systems of Home Affairs are secure. However, CETA and Home Affairs will keep on investing on additional security measures of our system. So hence, I want to put it, that's why, Chair, I'm saying it the way that I do. Because it would be very reckless of me to say that the systems of Home Affairs are not set. It would be a very reckless statement for me to put without any proof of that. But I can give a commitment and an assurance that for the work that we do, the core network of CETA is secure, same as the systems that Home Affairs have. But we believe that we should continue to invest in that security. It covers a lot of things, Chair. It covers antiviruses. It covers your fingerprint, biometrics. So there is a lot of things that we're doing. Those criminals are not sleeping. They are thinking of new ways of penetrating our system. And it is for that reason that CETA is clear that we will keep on investing more than $100 million a year on continuous security of government systems, both for us, and for clients like Home Affairs, Chair. I thank you, Chair.
No, thanks. I think I'm getting both you and Mr. Nhlanhla. I think you're articulating proper. I think I'm now clearer on the intention of Mr. Nhlanhla's comment on the response. The chairperson of the board, comments on the issues, Mr. Tseke?
My apologies, Chair. I understand Mr. Tsika has challenges speaking, Chair. My apologies.
Oh, yes, challenges speaking. Oh, thank you. Thank you. DG Makode, your comment on summary?
No, thank you, Chair. I hope you can hear me. I don't have challenges speaking. So maybe to go back to confirm and reconfirm what the caretaker CEO has indicated around security. I'd like to align myself with what he has said. Of course, it can never be enough to invest, and we'll continue to do so working with CETA. And we're getting very good cooperation from the colleagues at CETA with regards to that. So let's then get to the substantive questions. Honorable Ross, I suppose the contractual safeguards for the program have been provided for within the engagement model. CIO partly touched to that. I think for now, Honorable Ross, we focused on the implementation of the ABIS, and we're working around the clock to make sure that the conclusion of phase one is done by the end of December, and we can safely say before this committee that all is on track towards that. Maybe let me deal with the other questions that you have raised, Honorable Ross. The one thing that we currently are engaged with EOH is really around the arbitration with regards to the penalties that you referred to. It's an ongoing process. It will obviously take time because post that, we'll need to also look at the what we refer to as the value for money audit, so that you are then able to enforce penalties based on other activities as well, rather than just one contractual issue. So the penalties in the current IDEMIA contract, yes, they are built in. There's built-in clauses. And of course, as we have indicated, that for now, the focus is on the delivery. Now, you also asked a question around the, I think it was more your comment on the legal claims. I think we are winning some of the cases, Honorable Ross. You will know that the Supreme Court of Appeals recently ruled in our favor in the New Dawn technology matter, where they were claiming 600 million from the department. We've won it. Of course, they are continuing, they are proceeding to the Concord, despite the Supreme Court of Appeal saying there are no reasonable prospects of success in that case. So we do take your comment on the shortfall projected revenue and what is it that we need to do to increase our revenue, including some of the issues that you've spoken about around the network architecture. And then I'll ask the CFO maybe to respond to some of the mitigation measures that we're putting in place with regards to that. And then I think Honorable Molekwa, I think Sita has spoken to the issues around sticking to the timeframes that we've agreed on, including Mr. Mabaso has been attending those meetings. And then Honorable Tito, I think phase one of ABIS is on schedule, as we have said. And we currently, the team is preparing the final measures to commence with stage three testing, or what we refer to as the parallel run. And I must indicate to the committee that this parallel run needs to run for a period of 20 days before sign off testing. And if successful, we'll then move into production. And of course, the system will run in parallel with HANIS for at least the next year or so. And at some point, we'll come to the committee and indicate what is it that needs to happen to HANIS, because you can't then have two systems running parallel to each other. And then there was a question around, maybe just to correct the CIO, because he's recently joined the department. So the total amount for the contract for the entire ABIS project, it's around 465. And then you need to subtract what is it that we've paid to EOH to date. And then you'll probably be left with about 200 and something million. That's where we are at the moment. And then Honorable Kanyile, I think you asked for some of the offices where we will be piloting. In Pretoria, it will be Acacia, and then there's Byron in Cape Town. There's Wynberg as well. And then we take note of what Honorable Pile has said about extending the piloting beyond Tongat. I think DDG Mavuso, I'll then ask you to speak to some of those issues, including rural areas where you have said we need to look at connectivity. I think the VSET flat panel, we've made sure that that truck and the VSET is piloted in those deep rural areas. So it's been throughout almost all the provinces. And then I'll ask DDG Mavuso to speak to the 39 offices that you have said have no equipment with regards to hospital connectivity. And then Honorable Mqini, with regards to the issues that you have raised around long queues, I suppose in certain instances, those queues are still there. In particular, if we were to look at Umtata, for example, it's really related to the numerous areas that have been built or relates to the special development of that area. But there are interventions that we are making, including at that Umtata office, including converting, for example, some of the areas into an area where people can sit to make sure that we deal with the queues outside. And similarly, again, in the Eastern Cape, the Matatiele local municipality has now provided us, Honorable Mqini, with an office that we will be refurbishing to make sure that we have space that can accommodate people inside. And then Honorable Van der Merwe, of course, Mr. Mabuso will then speak to what other platforms are we looking at for the appointment system beyond WhatsApp, SMS? And I think we had committed at the last meeting that this will also include your USSD for those that do not have your smart phones. With regards to the partnership that we have with the banks, we're strengthening that partnership, Honorable Van der Merwe, with a view to make sure that we extend our footprint. And I do remember in our last discussions, we will be engaging with Itala, for example, in your specific area. Last week, we had meetings with CEOs of APSA, FNB, and Standard Bank. All of them are keen on assisting us to extend our footprint, including providing additional support to what CETA has committed that they will provide us with, in particular around the IT skills that we do not currently or are not in possession of. And of course, we will share with the Honorable Van der Meer the program for the mobile trucks for the areas that have been identified in KZN. I think I've spoken to the penalties in terms of the arbitration with regards to EOH. On the forensic reports, those DCs are currently underway. As you are aware, in terms of labor relations, these things tend to take longer. And with regards to the law enforcement agencies, we are working with them. As you'll recall, we did report at this meeting that the case has been registered with the Hawks, and they are working on that matter at an opportune time. For sure, we will share with the committee what inroads they're making with regards to that. And then I'll ask the CFO, through you, Chair, to speak to the budget priorities. And then I think the last ones are really related to, I think, Honorable Chabane, the caretaker CEO has responded to the issues that you have raised. So through you, Chair, if I can call upon DDG Mabuso to speak to issues raised by Honorable Kanyile on hospital connectivity and also Honorable Twini, and then the CFO. Thank you so much.
Chair, may I proceed?
Yes, I thought you have been invited.
Thank you.
Mr. Mavuso and then Mr. Holambe, and then we'll go to DG Jordan Chand. Thank you, Mr. Mavuso.
Thank you very much, Chair. No, I'll be brief. Just on the issue of the appointment system in terms of the pilot, I think the DG has indicated the offices. So basically what we're trying to do is to say with those pilot offices, remember there's going to be a change of culture, practice, and operations, not only from the side of the employees, but also from the side of the clients. So as you introduce that, we also want to pick up, you know, what are the lessons learned out of that. You know, most of those systems that you pilot, it's always better to be able to pick up, you know, the things that you need to look out for when you do a bigger rollout. So I think that's why we are starting with fewer offices. It's not just to deprive any other community the access to the appointment system. So I think the issue that Honorable Kanyile is raising, we're taking that into cognizance. But the other issue is that the current system is obviously accessible through a smartphone, through a laptop or iPad. But as we move forward, then we want to ensure that those who don't have access to that, who've got the USSD, are also going to be able to access that. So I think it's something that will build over a period of time, because we don't want to roll out in rural areas and then again, we're then going to find ourselves you know, being blamed for not allowing access to rural communities because they don't have access to technology. So that's all the issues that we are trying to deal with and ensuring that they have access. But also I think one of the issues that we will recommend obviously with IT is around the issue of having a dedicated a machine at the offices where those who are not able to have those technological equipment, then they can obviously book an appointment while in the office, depending obviously on the availability of slots. So that's just the one issue. The second issue is, I think Honorable Pillay raised an issue around the plan for modernizing other offices. I think in terms of our service delivery improvement model, one of the things that we've taken into consideration is the introduction of mobile offices, obviously, that has been done through civic services, so through the mobile unit. but also from channel management, what we are looking at is to also introduce other types of offices, not the bricks and mortar, but your kiosk. So a lot of work that has been done in that regard to ensure that we have a kiosk where clients can be able to self-service. So this is another way of modernizing. We are busy with that process. So I think at the right time, we'll be able to also come and tell the community where we are in relation to that work. And then the last point on the issue of health facilities. Yes, that's correct. There are health facilities that are not able to issue birth certificates on the spot, but we are offering the service there. That's why we've indicated that areas where you collect. So those area offices that we've highlighted, we are going to be sending equipment to ensure that they're connected. I think our biggest shortfall or the challenge is that this project was not funded from the baseline, from the onset. It was funded from the self-financing. Unfortunately, from 2020-2021 financial year, we saw a huge decrease. I mean, our projection for self-financing was to collect revenue to the tune of about 1.1 billion rand. We could not even collect half of that from foreign service due to a lockdown and other related issues. So it impacted not only on this project, but on other projects that are reliant on this particular financing. So it's something that I think we're now looking at of ensuring that at least at the bare minimum, we reprioritize within the baseline to ensure that we can fund it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mavuso, for that responses and commitment to the issues. Mr. Holambe.
Chairperson, good morning and thank you for the opportunity and also good morning to the colleagues in the meeting. Chairperson, I want to start off where Mr. Mavuso just ended on the issue of the non-modernized offices. Chairperson, the current non-modernized offices physically do not allow us to expand those offices to modernize them. In other words, they're just simply too small or inappropriate. In order for us to build a new office, and I'm going to use the example here of a small office chair, will cost us about 50 million rands per office. In addition to that, in order then to modernize that office, we need to put in a generator, a UPS, servers, photo booths, computer equipment. That equipment, more or less, it's another 5 million, plus the security venture. Chairperson, in order to operate a modernized office, you need a minimum of 5 officials. We do not have that kind of officials or the kind of numbers in officials. Then, Chairperson, in addition to the staff, we also then have the annual operating costs. It's things like your telephones, electricity. If you cost that at 2 million rands, Chair, it takes you to a considerable sum. For the 298 non-modernized offices to get them to the state where we want them to be will cost us in excess of 10 billion rands, Chairperson. That's 10 bill additional. We do not have that money, Chair. Chairperson, for the current financial year, and just to give an indication of time frames, we are able to modernize 3 offices. It's Mokopane in Limpopo, Toyando in Limpopo, and Taung in Northwest. So Chairperson, if we can do 3 in a year, then if we still have to do 300, it's going to take us a very long time. Chairperson, then just to get back to the issue about the question raised by Honorable Ruiz about the revenue shortfalls. Mr. Mavuso also touched that, Chairperson. What we are doing to address the revenue shortfall is to look at increasing the tariffs payable for passports and IDs in particular. We have also engaged government printing works to give us a cost reduction on the price we pay for passports and IDs. And I'm glad to say that government printing works has agreed to such cost reduction, Chair. That will only kick in on the 1st of April next year. So Chairperson, as Mr. Mavuso has pointed out, we used to collect revenue in excess of 1.1 billion. Our current year revenue projection is 562 million. Chairperson, we are on track to collect that revenue provided the offices remain open and able to provide the services as at lockdown level 1. If we do not issue passports or ID, Chairperson, then our revenue collections fell to about 2 million rands, 3, 5 millions, I think, in 1 month. So it's very dependent on how COVID takes us forward, Chair. Chairperson, in respect to of Honorable van der Merwe and the vehicles with the mobile offices, we have made available another 25 million rands in the current financial year to buy 10 additional mobile vehicles with a satellite technology. The satellite technology which we put up in the prototype is 1 million rands each, so it's also, that's why we can only have limited numbers. So Chairperson, we're also trying to modernize our fleet, and if we possible, we will then use it, if we can source additional funding somewhere, we will then modernize our existing fleet as well. So 10 new vehicles, at least in the current financial year. DJ has spoken about the contract value of the ABUS contract, so I'm not going to go with that one. So Chairperson, I mean, just lastly, to get to how do we fund our priorities and how do we make sure that those things are funded? We have very limited room to maneuver, Chair. Our budget is 8.6 billion rands. If we take off compensation of employees of 3.4 and the transfers to the IAC, we are left with 2.8 billion rands. And if I take from that, the 2.8 billion, I take the earmarked funds off, Chair, we're sitting with 1.9 billion rands, which we must then run all our operations. So Chairperson, in order to do that, we have a priority list. So what we give under goods and services, we first allocate to the earmarked product projects. Then we go for contractual commitments. Then we go for new projects. And then lastly, what's left, and it's usually around 500 mil, then becomes discretionary spend. Under discretionary spend, we must pay our telephones, fuel for our vehicles, repair costs, all those things, then comes from the discretionary spend. Chairperson, I hope that helped. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Holombe. The DG, Ms. Jordan Jani.
A very good morning to you, Chair, and greetings also to the honorable members on the platform. Greetings to the DM of Home Affairs and to my colleagues. And the chairperson, let me recognize the chairperson of CETA. Chair, I think there was only one question directed to the department, but maybe just to start off with, to echo the sentiments being shared by all those who have been working on this program, to say, as the department, we believe that the success of this project is very critical for us, especially also from the department, as we seek to achieve the MTSF goals. We also know that the Department of Home Affairs is the custodian of government data. And therefore, it is important that we ensure that it is on a secured, reliable, efficient, as well as an agile network infrastructure. And the connectivity, therefore, to all Home Affairs offices, coming now to the point that has been raised by Honorable Ross, is very critical for us. So where are we with regards to the SA Connect project? As you would know that as government, we had committed to connect all government institutions, schools, as well as public health facilities, as well as other critical government offices. Chair, we've done a pilot to which we've connected just less than 1,000 sites across the country through the collaboration with CETA as well as BBI and Centec, working also with the SMMEs. I would like to emphasize this because I think it's very important that we bring in all the industry players in the ecosystem, including obviously the small, medium enterprises. What we then did following the successful pilot in the 8 districts is that we went to come up with a feasibility study where we are trying to put up a proposal for funding. Due to the fact that the
government fiscals are constrained, we are now looking at a public-private partnership. So we've had to review our model, honorable members, to then ensure that as government maintains the core network, as the backhaul, as we call it, we are also then able to collaborate and bring in other players. The model that the Honorable Minister of Communications and Digital Technologies, Ms. Njabeni, has been looking at is to then see how we can look at all of other government's infrastructure, as government has invested extensively on infrastructure, aggregate that and see how then we can expand on the connectivity and connect those sites that haven't been. We're in the process of finalizing that business plan and costing it together with all the critical and working with the critical government departments. And we are wanting to introduce, therefore, policy instruments that will ensure that as government, we would have ease access to any infrastructure that is owned by government or a state-owned entity, as we want to expand on infrastructure connectivity in the country. And we want to go further to then say that infrastructure connectivity should go beyond and actually connect other public facilities, but more so as we move towards a digital society, we want to ensure that that connectivity reaches also the communities, especially in the underserved and rural areas. We will be piloting one such an example where we want to expand the connectivity to your townships, and rural areas, and see how then the effect of that, and hopefully we will be able to showcase this to even the private tech sector to bring them on board, especially other players such as your internet society groups, to then ensure that there is Wi-Fi access widely available within our country. So Chair, as you also indicated, this is the plan. We are hoping we are finalizing it before the end of this year, and we will be presenting it to our portfolio committee. It forms part of our revised strategic plan and APP as a department, and we would be more than happy to also share this with you when it has been approved by cabinet with the members of the portfolio committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Diti, for your response and comments. I'm going to invite Deputy Minister Njabulo to do closing remark on all the issues that have been raised. And if he has to respond to some of the issues, DM, you will respond, then we will work towards adjourning the meeting. DM.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think the first issue is around the issue of targets. I must indicate that the targets that we are presenting here today are consistent with what we have always presented here to the committee, and they are consistent with our agreements that we have reached with CETA. We have also processed them within the department. I understand that Mr. Mabaso is new and might have some concerns there and there, but in terms of the structure of how we are working with these targets, and he will also have to make sure that we implement these targets because they have long been preset, and we have already made milestones towards the achievement of these targets. I think the progress that we have made cannot be ignored in terms of how we have moved with all of these targets, and we do believe that we are still on site, and I'm happy that CETA has also confirmed that we are in line with those targets. On the issue of security, Chair, I can confirm that home affairs systems are secure, and that is why we have not had major problems in terms of security. If you look at other institutions, even in the private sector, they have been struggling with regards to security breach as well as data breach, but we have never had that as a department. But there is a need, because you can never say at any given point that you are 100% secure. There's always a need to consistently upgrade your security, and I'm happy that when we're making reflections, we did indicate that we need to consistently improve our security, because those who are in the business of compromising security, they are always looking at new ways on how they can do it. So you have to always improve and be a step ahead. And that is why we are investing in infrastructure that will make sure that we are more secured. So it does not mean that we are vulnerable. We are not vulnerable as a department. I think the issue of legal challenges as raised has been dealt with. We have taken a no-nonsense approach in terms of how we deal with legal challenges, because we have seen the results that it brings, not just only in terms of how we look, but even in terms of our financial performance. You will have noted that previously we were sitting with a huge contingent liability, which was a result of the court cases that we were facing. So our commitment and our determination to deal with these court cases, like the New Dawn kind of a situation, has really showed that we mean business in dealing with these court cases, and winning them is also a plus for us, because it also builds confidence that we're able to deal with the problems as and when they arise. I think Honorable Ross is quite correct. The need for self-funding is very important. If we do not have operational offices like we did during the COVID period under various levels of lockdown, it really hit us bad on our ability to self-fund. And I think Mr. Mavuso also dealt with that, as well as Mr. Holumpe, where when there were travel bans, you immediately had to stop producing passports. So we could no longer raise money out of production of those passports. Even when we had to stop the issuance of identity of smart ID cards. So we literally stopped. So improving efficiency, as Honorable Ross was saying, means improving your collection of revenue. And that allows you to be able to fund additional capacity that you need to be able to take the department forward. I think that step is correct. And I'm happy that also the CFO did deal with the arrangement that we are making with GPW, so that we sort of slash down on the cost of production of these documents and be able to get more funding from there and fund more innovative ideas that will take the department forward. We really are open to the idea of oversight on appointment system. I think we have always been open with the committee. They will just have to tell us what date is available, and then we'll make sure that we assist and give space for them to conduct, for the committee to conduct oversight. There is no question about it. I think we need to add rural offices in the pilot because that is where majority of the people are affected. If you look at a person who has to travel quite a number of kilometers to get to the office and they are not assisted because it's full. So this system will work quite well for them. We do have the 10 mobile trucks, and that we're adding with a budget of 25 million. I think Mr. Holumpe has reflected to that. It will increase our capacity. What I've always encouraged from members of the committee is that we are willing to partner with various constituency offices for us to be able to deliver services where there is a need. If you give us dates and say on this date you want us to be there and provide the service, we'll do that. And I think it's very important so that we can also work together with members of the portfolio committee so that they can see the kind of work that we are doing. But daily we do dispatch the trucks for them to do their operations in schools, in rural areas. Particularly when we were faced with local government election, we had quite a huge demand for identity documentation. So we're able to use those trucks in instances where our offices will have broken down, we'll also have that intervention in forms of trucks. I must say, Chair, in closing, that the capacity that we have built at Home Affairs was not an overnight thing. We have had to deal with quite a number of issues ranging from management stability that we see today, filling up of posts, making sure that things are done in the right way and in the right time. And I think even the presence of the full-time of the DG has also helped us quite a lot to make sure that we now run a stable organization that can be able to make commitments, stick to those commitments and make progress. And I think it is quite glaring that we are able to then see the progress that we have made over the past couple of years, and particularly in the past couple of months. And for that, we really appreciate the support that we have been consistently given by the portfolio committee. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much, DM. Thanks very much, members. Thanks very much, DG, Jordan, Jani, for leading the delegation, and DM for leading this delegation. The presentation which was presented to members, they have interacted with the issues raised, their recommendation. And I think that we think that the collective of members of the committee do appreciate the progress work so far that you have demonstrated in this meeting. We'll then observe the process of implementation, where the challenges, the committee as a collective with yourself, we need to come together to strengthen the work of the department and CITA. We're happy that there's a joint effort from the department and CITA to respond to the issues that we have raised in the previous committee meeting. We want to thank you, members of the committee and the deputy minister and your team for this presentation. We'll monitor, obviously, the implementation phase and identify where there are challenges, where members have recommended in terms of the area of offices piloting. We think that you will take that those recommendations and for implementation. We will, Deputy Minister, obviously, in the CITA, reconvene this item in terms of progress implementation in the middle of 2022. Just to check and also get into the space where you have presented here. And I'm sure members will then get into the ground to see practically in terms of the issues that you have raised, whether at a ground phase of this process working. So we think that we'll reconvene this session to get the implementation phase on the matter. We want to thank all of you attended this meeting and honorable members. I want to check, Mr. Matones, if there's any other announcement or item that you need to do. Mr. Matones?
I can. The announcement that I have is that next week we have invited the Minister of Home Affairs to brief the committee on the Ministerial Advisory Committee report that dealt with the electoral reform. And then also that last night, the department also sent a letter and the report and the bill to amend the Electoral Act to allow independent candidates to participate in the national provincial elections. It has been sent to the speaker. So, and then you as a chairperson, you have been copied. So we'll be monitoring that process as well to check if the office of the speaker will table that the bill to be discussed by the committee. That's all, chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Matones. That is an announcement of the committee members. The meeting stands adjourned. If there's no any other matter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.